Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 677, and we're recording this on March 24th, 2022. I'm Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And standing at that intersection with me, as usual, is Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hello, Martin. I'm out here in Minnesota, standing in the snow, no less.
Really?
We had 70 on Monday and a snowstorm on Wednesday. So spring has arrived in Minnesota.
Yes, you can tell by looking outside. Yes,
exactly.
Well, we're glad you're here. And it is 2:35 as usual on Wells Tech for those people watching at home. So
perfect time to talk.
If you want to get the joke, you have to watch the video feed. So. All right. We have two very special guests joining us on this education technology focused show, which we do every couple months here. And first is Rachel Feld, Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College. Hey, Rachel, welcome.
Hey, Martin. Good to be here. I am doing all right. You know, it's been a bit of a rough week. Had to put a kitty down on Monday, which was very sad. And then trying to catch up from all that.
And then it snowed.
Exactly. I don't know what's wrong with Minnesota, but
right.
They missed the memo, huh?
Right.
Apparently.
Yes. Yeah. Spring will come eventually. And joining us from beautiful Wisconsin, Jason Schmidt. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Hey, doing great, Martin. Spring has arrived here in Green Bay as well. We have like 40
probably
in
all
rain.
At 32 degrees.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm, yep. Yeah. For like the next week and a half or so. And then I think we're going to hit 80 probably. So, you know, just enough. It'll be enough. Good.
Yeah. Let's leave the weather behind us. That's a conversation none of us really want to have right now. But the conversation we do want to have is about educational technology. And it's always fun to have Jason and Rachel on because they always bring their A games. And I think that's no different today.
Very true, Martin, and especially as we look forward to this summer's Wells Education Conference under the theme United in Christ, Diverse in Service. Both Rachel and Jason are speakers at the conference. So if you want to see them in person, you need to be at this conference in June. Rachel is going to share a little bit about her topic today, using technology to spark creativity and higher order thinking skills. So we are a tech podcast. Obviously, we're interested in technology, but is technology number one when it comes to higher order thinking skills, Rachel?
No, really not. You know, I was just talking with Bob Martins here the other day about how for a tech person, I spend a lot of time talking about not tech. And I think that's because the focus has been on tech for so long that some of the other things in education have been not maybe as important. And really, in order to use technology effectively, you need to focus on your lesson objectives and standards and pedagogy and all that good stuff. And that also goes to helping our students be creative and use their higher order thinking skills. Oh, hey, look, that's me.
Yep. And that's what you're going to talk on this summer. And I think tech does have a place in that. And we certainly want to touch on that during the show, but maybe just starting with why it's important to get them to this higher order thinking and what's going on there with that concept.
Definitely. So, you know, I remember there's a meme that I probably should have found, but it's the one where it's a calculator and your teacher's telling you, you know, back in the mid-90s, that you won't have a calculator in your pocket all the time, so you better learn your math. And that is no longer true. And that goes for an awful lot of things that we maybe learned, at least when I was in grade school. And knowing those facts, while still very important, isn't quite as important because the facts or lack of facts is so readily available. And so using those higher order thinking skills to, put the information together and critically think, is this even valid information? You know, what website did I get it from? Is the person writing this information know anything about what they're writing about? And then how do I use that information? How do I use what has happened in history or what we're learning about in geography about different cultures or things? How does that get used so that I can better let my light shine as a Christian? And I think that's where that focus needs to be, more so than do I know what year the War of 1812 happened, which is probably the only war I actually know what year it happened, because history's not my thing.
So Rachel, go ahead, Sally.
No, I was just going to say, Jason, you work in a virtual environment day in and day out now, supervising. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if higher order thinking skills is an emphasis in the education realm that you're in, the virtual environment.
You know, and I don't think it has like virtual, brick and mortar, blended, you know, whatever. That's really what we want kids to do, right? We want kids to be critical thinkers. We want them to be able to apply knowledge that they have. And absolutely, you know, that's where we want to go, you know, and it's kind of, you know, pandemic was like, there were a lot of things that came out of the pandemic that have just been very bad. But, you know, for one thing I would think that, or I would say that has been incredibly good, is that it's forced everybody to stop looking at the tools and how do you do stuff. And now we're finally shifting that conversation as a profession towards like, it's technology is no longer, it's now a non-negotiable. Like everybody knows how to use this stuff. So now, okay, what do we know kids need to be able to do? Do we want, you know, how do we get them to think about these things? How do we get them to apply that new information to different kinds of settings? You know, how do you determine whether something is fact or false, or, you know, what's the concentration of truth or whatever it is that you're reading in there? So I'm really excited to see, sessions like this and, in the conference taking this kind of a spin. And, you know, I would even love to see like sparking creativity and higher order thinking skills in your classroom, right? Because that using technology, it's either a given or it's like not something that you necessarily, I mean, it doesn't have to be technology, you know, that's the other piece of it. So, I'm glad that these conversations are happening and seeing that shift in the profession overall towards those higher order thinking skills is really, it's really where we need to be, because we need people to think.
Rachel, let's take this to its natural conclusion. So, you know, to really understand the impact. So an adult, you know, a student who goes through life, you know, with these higher order thinking skills, goes through their educational career with the higher order thinking skills versus one who doesn't and never really develops them. How do those two adults differ? What's the end result?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with how successful they might be in the future. The big one for me always comes back to our faith. And if you are not a critical thinker and you're just looking at everything that's happening in our culture, in society or media, and just taking it at face value without critically thinking about what does God say about this, you're not going to be going down a great path. So that, to me, is the first and foremost reason why we want our students to be critical thinkers. But beyond that, those are the skills that people are looking for in jobs in the future. It's not, you know, do you know how to type 25 words per minute?
Right.
Or, those kind of skills used to be on job postings, but not so much anymore. It's, can you take this problem that we're having in our production line or having in our office? Can you take this problem, look at the various solutions, and logically pick which one is going to work the best? Can you look at the budget and say, we could adjust this here and this here, and then we could do this new thing? You know, it's more about what you do with that information, because the information is so readily available. And that's according to, what's that group? Those are the World Economic Forum. The top 10 skills of 2025 all really center around, can you think creatively and can you solve problems?
I know when we're looking at hiring, you know, on our team, on our technology team, I'm not necessarily looking at how much they know, but how they approach, you know, a problem. Are they problem solvers? You know, it's really a challenge to hire somebody in technology, especially, but I would think in most areas, that don't know how to attack a problem and aren't passionate about solving it. And if you've got those couple skill sets, yeah, you figure out the rest. As technology changes, you have to be able to do that. It's not so much what you've memorized or even what experience you have or bring to the table or even degrees. You know, it's the things that you were talking about. So it makes a big difference.
Exactly. We're learning that in network services right now. At MLC, I'll put in a plug that if anyone is a sysadmin and would like to move to beautiful New Ulm, where I promise it is much nicer.
It's going
to
warm up sooner.
It never snows.
We are hiring. So you can check out the MLC website for information. But we're finding, you know, what we're really looking for is someone who can learn and can look at the problem and just figure out what information they need to look for. I'm pretty sure 95% of IT tech support is Googling. And I've had people say, well, why do you know these things that I don't? And it's like, I don't know them, but I know enough to know how to Google for them. And that's, you know, not that we want a sysadmin who only knows how to Google. But
synthesize the results, make sense of them and apply them, right?
Exactly. But
perfect lead into the tech side of this conversation. And the reason we have it on a tech podcast is that technology can help to make those connections and to extend the learning, to give platforms for sharing and creatively drawing conclusions and representing them. What are some of your favorite tools for that kind of thing to make available to students?
Oh, well, my favorite EdTech tool, hands down, my desert island tool would be Google Slides, which I know sounds a little odd because it doesn't have all the bells and whistles of other things, but really, there are very few things you can't do with Google Slides. If I want to make a storyboard, if I want to make a newsletter, if I want to make a poster, I can make a flip book, you can animate, you can do choose your own adventure stories. There's just a million and one things you can do with Google Slides. And especially now that they have added where you can hide the little sidebar, and you can also have it like large screen with, and it's still being interactive. You know, it can totally replace Smart Notebook in your classroom if you on your interactive whiteboard. There are just so many things you can do with Google Slides. So that would be my number one pick if I was stuck on a desert island and had to teach with only one ed tech tool.
And internet. You'd need internet.
Well, yeah. That's just a given. I don't go places that don't have internet.
That's right.
Not even desert islands.
And if I was stuck on a different desert island, like, you know, within shouting distance or Wi-Fi distance or something like that of Rachel, because we'd have to share our internet access. She's got Google Slides. I'll let her have that one and I'll take Canva. Because if Google Slides can do a million and one things, Canva can probably do about 999,997 of them. I just like that platform. I've migrated a lot of my content over to Canva just because to me, it's easier to make things aesthetically, visually pleasing within the Canva platform. I know like there, and I'm Google guy, like all the way through. So, you know, like I'll build stuff in Canva and then move it into Google Slides, just because of some of those other pieces that go along with it. But between those two tools, honestly, like I can accomplish pretty much any kind of a project that I would need to. But then, you know, there's some other pieces that just neither one of them does, where, you know, we're recording, like recording video or recording, like making video projects. You can do that in Canva, but I haven't played with it very much. But Flipgrid and it used to be Spark, but now I guess they call it Creative Cloud Express, from Adobe. Those are both really great tools for, doing those kinds of video projects or those creative projects. Very easy, very user-friendly and free, which is always a good idea. So, we talk about technology, we talk about the tools, but let's talk about how we can use those things to amplify the work that we're doing. So, you know, and I always, that's the analogy that I always use with technology. It's kind of like a microphone, right? So, you know, if you're doing things really well, then the technology just kind of unlocks some additional potential and expands your reach, or, you know, makes things just that much more interesting and exciting. So I really like these tools for those kinds of purposes. And, you know, again, there's like not as much training that we have to do to get to know how to use these things, because people have been using them for a while now, which is a good thing.
You know, I have something that ties into the conversation. I'm really excited. I want to share this with you. You guys can tell me I'm wrong, but I just read a quote from the Minnesota State High School Mathematics League. I follow their Facebook page. Really happen in place if you're looking for something fun to follow. Anyway, the gal that is the number one, the winner of the state high school math competition, had this quote: "This competition season, the thing that has helped me the most is teaching. Private tutoring, being a teaching assistant for high school math class, instructing summer math camps, and creating math YouTube videos. Explaining math concepts to others has given me the ability to see problems in many ways." And she continues. But I think one thing I had read was maybe podcasting or something as a way to kind of make those connections. Teaching, doing videos is a perfect example of how you can continue to make higher ordered thinking type connections with your learning.
Definitely. That goes back to the synthesizing and the, just letting your students show what they know. The more students are able to do that in a way that makes sense to their brain and can share then what they know with an audience, whether it be big or small. And those are things that technology is really good at doing. When you make a paper pencil poster for the classroom, to share that out beyond your school walls is really difficult. When you make a Google slide, to share that out beyond your school walls is a piece of cake. So being able to give students that reason and the voice to why would you want to make something really awesome if you know that the 10 people that you sit in eighth grade with every single day are the only ones that are going to see it? Some kids will have, they just want to do well because they do want to do well. And some will go, I got the grade, it's all good. But if you know that that's going to be put on the website, or, you know, my teacher's going to share this at a conference, or it's going to go out on Instagram or whatever, then the stakes are a little higher. And I maybe really want to show that I can do something cool that really helps share my learning.
Very good. Well, I'm excited for your session, Rachel. I think it'll be a great one for people to register for. The conference, again, is Wells Education Conference, the theme United in Christ, Diverse in Service. It's happening June 20th through 22nd at Ingleside Hotel in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. So the place to be. And we've got all the details on the website. I'll just make mention that early bird pricing is at $325 for the conference, and that deadline is coming up on May 1st. If you happen to be a contributing school, your entire faculty can get an additional $50 discount off of that price. So that brings the conference price down to just $275. What a deal. And you get to see Rachel and Jason there. So, I mean, who doesn't want to rush out and get registered? The web address is wellsedconference.com. And exciting things ahead.
And I promise to not just play the recording of this podcast as my presentation, even though that's what Jason thinks I should do.
Hey, you know, hey, why do things twice? That's all I'm saying.
Sure, there'll be lots of other awesome stuff going on there too. All right. Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate the sneak peek at what's going to be happening this summer in Pewaukee. Let's move on to our ministry resource segment.
And I wanted to put a plug in for an evangelism video resource that's available from the Wells Congregational Services website, wellscongregationalservices.net. The video resource is called Let's Go, and it's a series of Bible study videos about reaching out and connecting with unchurched people, subtitled Love, Listen, and Lead. It's brought together a lot of really great Synod communicators. I was very excited, especially to see Professor Mark Paustian from Martin Luther College be part of this, because he definitely has a great way of connecting. So there are study guides available, bulletin inserts, and then a whole series of videos. And as I went through this in my own congregation, I realized it's really set up perfectly to do online Bible study as well. You could do it in something like Zoom and have breakout rooms where people practice the skills they're learning, you know, in smaller groups and things like that. But the videos are available where you could share them, you know, easily within your congregation and use it for an online Bible study. So works great in person, also would work great as a virtual Bible study. So check it out. Let's Go. Love, Listen, Lead.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that, Sally. That is an awesome program, and they've very professionally done too. You can tell a lot of time and effort put into that, and some great resources. All right, one of our favorite segments of the show, and that's our Picks of the Week. I'm going to throw this over to Rachel first. Hey, Rachel, what kind of pick do you have this week?
All right, so mine is a book. It's called Media Literacy for Young Children, Teaching Beyond the Screen Time Debates. And it just came out. I just got it in the mail, I think on Monday, come to think of it. And so I haven't read all of it yet, but it's from the National Association for the Education of Young Children, which for my early childhood friends, they are very, very familiar with. That's where a lot of research and information about those early childhood kiddos comes from. And so they have put together this book that really talks about media literacy. So it's not so much about, you know, oh, if you're under the age of three, you should only have 5 minutes a day. And if you're over the age of three, then you can have 10 minutes a day of screen time. Anymore, screen time isn't, it's vital, but it's not about the minutes, it's about the type. And so this one talks about how we can make sure our students, and especially our younger students, are media literate. It's not very big, which is very nice. You know, pretty skinny book and nice big words. So not as daunting as some of the educational books I've picked up. And also has some pause to reflect activities throughout the book. So I could see this maybe being either a textbook or a like a book study for a school. Even I think a grade school, I think would do well to look through this. It talks about planning, media literacy. It talks about family connections. And just, it looks to be very well done, and I'm excited to dig into it.
Excellent. And I can smell that new book smell from here.
It has real pages.
Real pages, yes.
I did not get the Kindle version.
Paper. Kindle is a version that is available too.
Though. Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. How about you, Jason? What do you got?
Yeah, so my pick this week is, or this month, or this time, is an online app called Extempore. So one of the things that we've been working on in our program is world language instruction. And when you're teaching a world language online, one of the really difficult things to do is to give students an opportunity to practice speaking. What Extempore does is it allows it's a free tool. There's a subscription model, like the freemium kind of a deal. But what this allows you to do is, set up some of those, assessment pieces and then assign students to do specific tasks. And the really nice thing about it is that it works, it's really accessible. So it'll work on any kind of an internet connected device. And it works in a lot the same way that that Flipgrid does. But the difference with this is that it has an LTI integration built into it. So if you are, like you see down at the bottom of the screen, you know, if you're using a learning management system, you can just integrate it directly in there. And then students don't have to go someplace else in order to be able to do it. So, you know, it talks to the different LMSs that are out there and simplifies some of that that process on the backside of it for some of that that additional practice. So even if you're using one of these platforms in your classroom, let's say you're a Spanish teacher and you have access to Moodle or Canvas or whatever, you can integrate Extempore in there and then have some of those speaking assessments that students will be able to do, simplify that and use that class time then for more other informal interactions or things like that if you need to. So free tool, really great thing that we've been working with, and just excited for the possibilities that come out of that. So Extempore.
Awesome. My wife teaches 6th or 8th grade language arts and the forensics program as well at Peace in Hartford. She'd be very interested in that. That seems like a very cool program.
Awesome.
All right, Sally. Europe.
My turn. My pick is related to Google Apps. And we heard from both Rachel and Jason how Google Apps is go-to for them. And Slides in particular, I think Rachel said, was her desert island pick. So this is a series of training from the Google for Education that's Google Apps for Beginners. Start learning in 3 easy steps. You need a Google account, you pick a lesson, and you learn new skills. And they have a whole selection of lessons, 8 different in this collection. Everything from what is Google Apps, using Google Search, working with Drive and Docs and calendars, even Google Meet so that you could have online conferencing and things like that. So a very good place, I think, for beginners to start as they pick a particular lesson. It walks them through, you know, video lessons and things. There's a transcript for them and opportunities to practice their skills and things like that. So very well set up. I was thinking, and you guys can tell me if this seems like a good idea or not, that this could even be something that you offered as a community outreach, like an adult ed kind of thing. You've got the lessons all prepared for you. You're there as an expert on the scene trying to guide people as they need help, you know, augmenting the lessons. There's lesson plans and things to go along with each. And I would think there's adults out there that would appreciate that kind of opportunity. Certainly you could do it as a component of a technology summer camp or something for kids, but I bet kids for the most part, are a little bit past the beginnings of Google Apps, many of them. But it looked like a really good starting point, especially for people that maybe are a little bit intimidated or don't feel they have the tech skills at all. It's kind of all laid out for them, easy steps, video tutorials, things like that. So that's my pick of the week, Google Apps for Beginners.
Very nice. I like that idea as well. I think that's maybe an underdeveloped opportunity for outreach in a lot of our congregations and schools, especially those with, you know, those computer labs just hanging around yet, or, you know, just spaces that could be repurposed and bring in some Chromebooks or whatever and say, we're going to go through this. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like it. My pick of the week is called Google Drive, playing off the Google theme, Google Drive for desktop. This has had a couple different names in the past, and they finally settled on this. Essentially, this does two things. One of them is it allows you to store or back up your local system files to the cloud, to your Google Drive account. And you don't get a lot of out-of-the-box storage with Google Drive, but you know, for not a lot of money, you can up your game there. I think for $2.99, you can get 200 gigabytes, something like that. The part that I really like is the file syncing. There's the ability to mirror or stream your files. So if you have a Google Drive account, and that's where I hold a lot of my personal documents, you can select either that the files would stream down on demand when you need them. So you click and open a file and it opens on your local computer, or to mirror them, actually keeps a local copy both in the cloud and on your computer. So if you are on a desert island and you need access to your Google Slide, this would enable you to open it regardless of internet connection, or on a plane or wherever. I've tried a lot of these syncing services. You know, there's Dropbox and Box and OneDrive. And I found this one, after some initial hiccups, to be actually one of the most reliable and fastest solutions out there. It just kind of sits in the background in your tray and just kind of works away. And it syncs almost immediately. File size is not a problem. And I do the mirror so I can actually search my local hard drive for these files. And they come up when I do that search. But I always know that they're in the cloud as well if I want to access them on my phone or whatever. So this is totally free. Again, you may have to pay for additional storage if you kind of make this your primary place to store your files and stuff. But the application that Google has kind of evolved here to is really rock solid. So highly recommended.
So Martin, I have a quick question for you.
Yes.
Because they've had, this tool has existed for like a long time for enterprise consumers. Have they merged that file, like that platform now into one, like whether you're using an Apps account or a Workspace account or just a personal account?
Yes.
It's just one application?
Yes and no. I think there is a subset of features that is only available on the quote unquote paid for accounts or the Workspace accounts or whatever they're calling them these days. But I'm using just the out of the box one for my personal stuff. And I can't imagine, you know, some of the other features that I can't imagine what other features I'd actually want for my personal stuff. Okay. But if you do have a school account, I think there, or a work account, a workplace account, I think there are some additional things that get thrown in there as well.
Okay. Gotcha. So it's a different utility.
I think it's the same one, but it's how you log in or what you attach, gotcha, which account you attach to it. So
okay,
I think it's
cool,
the exact same application. So
awesome. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that's come to consumers. That's something I've been hoping for a long time. So
very nice.
Thanks.
All right, that's it for our picks of the week. Let's move on to community news and feedback.
Yeah, and we have a couple of things to share here, Martin. First up, we heard from Wells member Roman Johnson, who is in Fairmont, Minnesota, and his company uses a mass communication tool called Bright Arrow. And he just wanted to mention it. He said they found it to be very reasonable in price and a great solution. They use it mainly to notify employees when there's inclement weather. But Bright Arrow, actually kind of their sweet spot is nonprofits and faith-based organizations. They have a whole area dedicated, you know, to that group. And they offer phone, text, email, and social media announcements. And you have a nice management console. And you also can do it on your mobile phone. So you don't have to be on a big screen to manage all of that communication from one place. So I'm not sure if every church has that kind of thing set up where they can easily communicate with all their members on all those different types of channels. And if not, maybe they want to consider Bright Arrow for that purpose. There's a really good introductory video. It's only about 2 minutes long that I'll include in the show notes, and it'll give you an idea of the capabilities of the software. And I will say, even though Roman said it's a reasonable price, they don't disclose pricing on their website. You have to contact them for pricing and things. So I can't give you an idea of what that reasonable price is, but comes highly recommended from Roman. So we appreciate that feedback. All right. Next up, we wanted to make mention that there is a conference happening pretty soon from our friends at Christ in Media. That is a kind of a think tank group out of Bethany Lutheran College that focuses on technology and media for sharing the gospel. And we'll have links in the show notes to both the festival and this overview article about the festival. It's called an XR festival, where they're bringing together virtual reality and augmented reality and how that could be used in gospel outreach. And Christ in Media has a history of doing some really neat kind of test cases and things with Area Lutheran High Schools. So they reached out to Area Lutheran High Schools, offered them virtual reality headsets to be a part of this and do some research and brainstorming within their schools. So there's several schools that are coming to the conference with a team who's worked on this concept and will be presenting at the conference. Also, they have a keynote speaker, Christine Lyon Bailey, who's with Ready Learner One, an innovative solutions provider for learning and training. And so she is all about virtual reality. She co-authored a book on Reality Bites and the eSports Education Playbook. So she's very into that space of virtual reality and will be keynote. The conference is actually happening on April 1st and 2nd. So it's just right around the corner, about a week away. But I'm sure there's still room for you to get registered. The main part of the conference is on Saturday, April 2nd. But they do have some events happening Friday night if your group, you know, plans to get there on Friday. They do have some things going on then as well. Keynote will be on Saturday. The different presentations and things, breakout sessions, et cetera, will be on Saturday. Registration fee is only $40, and that covers your meals during the conference, as well as all the events. And I think they've got some pretty big giveaways that are part of the conference as well. So I am planning to be there. I would love to meet up with any WellsTechers that are in attendance. So please say hello if you make it to the conference and join me. It's at Bethany Lutheran College, Saturday, April 2nd.
Excellent. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, you'll hear more about it on WellsTech after I'm there and can tell you what I saw. So I'm very excited.
A roving reporter. Yes.
There you go. And then finally, I just kind of had my ear to the ground a little bit. And with all that's going on in the world, there's a load of fake news out there. And there's a lot of cautions around educating people about fake news sources. Kind of ties into some of the discussion we had earlier in the podcast. And there's lots of resources and things being shared. So if you have feedback or experience with that and would like to share some of your favorite resources, please do use our community feedback channels. We're on all the social media. You can contact us through our website, wellstech@wells.net, or by email, wellstech@wells.net. So definitely get in touch with us and tell us what you're doing to combat fake news.
Excellent. Sally, thank you for all that you do. And a special thanks this week to Jason and Rachel. Brought your A games again. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Next week, always next time. Yep. Next time, we are going to welcome one of our newest employees at the CMM, Mr. Tim Sinclair, who's on our web services team. He's going to talk about web excellence. And as you are thinking about creating websites, redesigning websites, launching new ones, whatever, some things to think about and how to approach that somewhat daunting task. Where do you even start? So that's what we're going to talk about next time. Thanks everybody for joining us. We really appreciate your patronage and you being here. You have many choices. You have many podcasting choices, and we're glad that you decided to spend a little bit of time with us. So blessings on your week. Have a blessed Lenten season, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.